6 o'clock.
So I ask her, and then they'll come up and I'll shut it off so nobody hears I'm checking stuff.
All right, it is 6 o'clock. I call the Wednesday, September 14th, 2016, Planning Development and Extension Education Committee to order. Number one, certification of compliance with Wisconsin Open Meetings Law. Teddy?
Yes, the meeting was published on September 1st and September 6th.
Okay, thank you. Two, feature program, Sustainable Kenosha County.
Great, thanks. I'm going to take the lead and then I'm going to pass the baton to my two colleagues here. So first, let me welcome and say thank you to Mike Schrant, who is here on behalf of our, actually two teams, Sustainable Kenosha County team, as well as the Energy team for Kenosha County. And he's going to share some of that work as we give a presentation and talk about our work. Amy Grile has mentioned a couple times, I think, at various committee meetings. And now we're going to dig in just a little deeper and kind of tell you what we've been doing and share some of those results. So the single sheet paper on top is just a snapshot of the slides that we're going to go through. But the piece behind it is the actual concept paper. And I just wanted to share that with you because this is a draft that educators in the Kenosha County UW Extension office drafted several months ago to share with the county executive to say we propose that we look at various initiatives that were already going on in Kenosha County regarding sustainability, as well as some new initiatives that we could undertake. And wouldn't that be really cool if we were to just take off and start to identify work that's saving the county money, addressing sustainable issues, and engaging county employees? So we did that, and it's been accepted very wholeheartedly. And as a result, we've created a team called Sustainable Kenosha County. But its beginnings actually started with the energy team that Mike's a part of, originally led by Amy Grile, our community natural resources economic development educator. So I'm going to turn it over to Lee and Mike to start talking about some of the elements of where we've been and what we're doing.
So as Teddy mentioned, this concept paper that we've put together is one that highlights existing projects going on and then also things that we think could help both the county in terms of its operations and also the employees in order to kind of inform them and help them themselves make improvements in their lives that can help them save money through saving energy or saving money through growing their own food, these kinds of things. So we laid out this concept paper, but first we kind of wanted to get a baseline for what we kind of think sustainability means in the context of this project. So, it's a term that I think has gotten watered down and people see it and they think one thing, but it's hard to really know what people might think when they see the term. So we wanted to say in the work of our team, we're kind of looking at it from four different perspectives. So we're looking at sustainability in terms of the environment, which I think is the most kind of, that's what people think when they see sustainability probably most often is things that are eco-friendly or, good for the earth. But we're also looking at social sustainability, so that would just include things around everyone having equal access to food, water, healthy food, education, healthcare, things like that. Also in terms of economics, system isn't truly sustainable if the economics of it don't work out, because it's not going to continue into the future. So that's a big part. So I always like to emphasize that in my work with farmers and educating people about different types of production, because in order for any type of agricultural production to be sustainable, it's got to be economically viable. So that's just one thing that kind of comes into my own work. But then also culture is this other aspect of sustainability that I think has more recently brought into the picture, but it kind of goes beyond social. And I think culture to me means things that bring quality of life to community. So there's a lot of different things going on in the Kenosha community that make it a place that people want to live. And it's not necessarily about meeting basic human needs. These are things that kind of add to a community and make it somewhere where people actually want to reside and raise a family and things like that. So we've kind of outlined some of those examples in our concept paper, but then we've also outlined things that we think that we can do as county government to both improve operations and to kind of engage our own employees around sustainability, both in the office setting and at home. So a few things that we've already kind of taken on, and this concept paper has been presented to the county executive to get his approval on kind of our plan and how we see things kind of going forward. So I'll start with the employee engagement piece, which is something that we've kind of just started. And we began with a program called Cool Choices, which is an online interactive activity that gets people kind of, first of all, creates awareness for different sustainable practices, and then adds a little level of competition between participants in the activity to indicate which practices that are considered sustainable that they're currently doing, and then they earn points for those. And so we organized that program with different county departments. We had 161 participants across the county, and we found it was a six-week activity, all online, so points were tracked online. There are winners every week, and it got people really excited, and we had some really positive results from that. In fact, some people went ahead and got energy audits for their home. They replaced all their light bulbs, got LED light bulbs. So it really got people kind of starting to think about sustainability within the county. We've also been doing educational newsletters, which will include little tidbits on ways that people can implement sustainable practices in their own life and at home. We've done one lunch and learn focused on saving energy and money. We had the Energies come and talk about ways that county employees can save money in their own home by, you know, monitoring their electricity bill, signing up for certain programs, replacing lights with more efficient LEDs, things like that. And we'll be doing another one coming up in October focused on local foods and how you can, you know, support the local economy by consuming things that are produced and processed here in the area. And another interesting one that we've been working on is what we call PED Talks, which are planned TED Talks. But those are held in conjunction with the Humana Vitality Program walks held here at the KCC. So last month in August, we had Terry talking about nutrition. So people that were coming here to earn points for the Vitality Program and going out on the walking path out there, were also able to kind of have some education incorporated into their activities. So we'll be doing one next week focused on composting, also in conjunction with the Humana Vitality Walks. So that's one part of it. That's an employee engagement piece, and we kind of continue to keep building on that as we see, you know, interest from employees arise in different areas. And the other piece is making Kenosha County government and facilities a model of sustainability. So there's a few different components of that. One is, you know, the KCC Center here has made some improvements that are already kind of getting it on track to be a model of sustainability. We have some plans for how that might continue into the future. But the big one, and the one that kind of started this whole thing, is the energy team, which Amy Growl worked on with Mike Schrant and a few other folks from different departments. So I'll kind of turn it over to you to talk about that program and the successes that you've seen there. So.
All right, so the energy team was formed by Amy. She put it together. The first thing I want to do is really thank Teddy's group. They put a lot of work into it, and it never would have got kicked off if they wouldn't have done that. Amy has put in a tremendous amount of hours to make sure it's transitioned really well. And all the members of the team are on there. A lot of them have changed over. Ray is new to it. Jim Kupfer has been around. He's our CFO. Myself. Matt Storino is our HVAC specialist within facilities. Mike Woodward is our electrician. And those two guys are really key because all of our energy savings revolve around their types of work, with lighting for the electrician and then Matt for anything with boilers or water heaters or anything like that. So their input is really vital. And they didn't really come on until probably about a year ago. Tim Catt in parentheses, the facilities there. He's one of our building chiefs for this building. He's not officially on the team, but he's, like I said, a building chief. When we talk about specific buildings at our meetings, I invite the building chief from that facility to come because they're directly involved in any project we would do. We actually have a meeting tomorrow for the administration building, and the building chief for that is Rhonda Hadinger, so she'll be invited to that. Amy's name, of course. And then the last two, Jeff Mackey and John Burgett. Those are the guys from We Energies. Jeff Mackey is actually an engineer. He's an energy savings engineer. He specializes in that. John Burgett is no longer on the team. He's moved on to a higher position, and we have a couple new guys in place. But those guys, they really are our big resources with the team. And it starts with the smaller lines there with the gathering of data. That's how we started out in 2014. We kind of took the building square footages, list them all on a spreadsheet, looked at the bills, you know, for energy, and kind of benchmarked everything, entered into portfolio management, which Jim Cuffer takes care of. And then we progressed from there onto what we call level one assessments of each building. And each of the facilities, and we have really nine major buildings that we look at for this project, we kind of categorize them from the hard ones to the small ones, just because that's the way I like to tackle things. And we did the detention center, safety building first, those are the hard ones. Brookside was one. And in doing those, we started out with level one assessments, and that's where the engineer will come in and we'll spend about an hour at each building and look at all the systems. So the lighting, the boiler, the heating system, the air conditioning system, the domestic hot water system, and see if there's any potential there to save energy. And with the big ones, it's kind of a no-brainer. We really knew we didn't have to do that, and we progressed right to the level two assessment. Level two assessment, I spend anywhere with the energy engineer from 4 hours to a whole day just walking through the building and logging everything, counting fixtures, you know, getting model numbers, and anything that he would need to calculate where he could find savings. After that, he takes about anywhere from 3 weeks to a month, comes back with recommendations, and we'll do this again tomorrow for the administration building, and he'll have probably 10 to 12 bullet points of suggestions, and they can be anything from changing a couple light bulbs to replacing a boiler with something very, very significant. After that assessment's done, then we get together as a team and we look at that list and we pick out projects we want to do. A lot of the times we'll pick the low-hanging fruit. So the easy ones to decide on is the ones that are longer payback. Well, maybe put them to the side and do them at another time. But we'll then talk to our CFO and see if we can find money to do it. In most cases, for the bigger projects, the budget is kicked into the budget. For instance, this year we're putting a couple lighting projects on for next year to change the lighting on the exteriors of a couple of the buildings. Once we have the money to do it, we can start going forward. We'll bid things out and just tackle it like any other project and get that all squared away. Standardize the process to receive focus on energy incentives. That's part of the We Energy's focus on energy project. That's a program that really looks at what you're doing based on the engineer's recommendations, and they have incentives or rebates that you qualify for. And that adds up to significant money, especially when you add into the amount of energy you save in dollars for the year. Managing grants, we've applied for two grants during this process over the 2 years. The first grant we got, it was a $10,000 grant, the second one we didn't. That money was used to polish off four different facilities, where we had kind of piecemeal the outdoor lighting and done what we could with the money we had, and that $10,000 allowed us to look at what was left fixture-wise on the outside and get them all done. Say that facility's done outside, every light outside is a LED fixture. So that's kind of the process of what we go through. As we've gone through the tougher buildings, all we have left now are minor buildings, and I think we just finished KCAB, that's kind of a minor building. The pre-trial facility and Molinaro are left. And we've already had discussion that those are significantly small buildings, so we're not going to even do level two assessments on it. We're just going to do level ones. So there really isn't much to find. And there isn't a lot to find because now that we've been doing this for 2 years, facilities, myself and the team, have seen the process, and we've actually gone ahead on our own. and implemented some of these projects. We've gone in and looked at some of the boilers, some of the lighting, everything that I've talked about, and actually done some of them on our own. There's another component to all this that we didn't really realize in the beginning, and that's the significant maintenance savings. For me, it's half of the whole ballgame. We've got a lot of systems in the buildings that are at the end of life, and to pump more money into them and try and string them along is just a waste of money. So we've done things like at KCAB, even though that assessment is now done, we went in there and replaced the boiler and domestic hot water system with something that's very, very efficient. We got that all done, so when Jeff Mackey came in and did his assessment, it wasn't there for him to pick. It was done already. And we got incentives for it, we applied for that ourselves, and it's basically done. And that's the case with two remaining buildings too. So it's kind of the process we go through. We're 2 years into it. It's never going to end for us, regardless of the focus on energy incentives. We continue to look for savings and just keep on going. So go ahead and click to the next one.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, we kind of follow the recommendations, and now we still do that with the remaining buildings, but we've seen on our own that, the examples they've shown us, we go out and do our own things. What we've done is gone to golf and parks facilities and worked with Matt Collins or John Rudy at the time and Dan Dreyer, and just looked at those clubhouses and maintenance facilities that they have and gone through and looked at the lighting fixtures, and a lot of them are changed out to LED now. I looked at their furnaces and their rooftop units for air conditioning, and a few of them are done. There isn't much to do with those either now. So we've kind of learned this whole thing during the 2 years. So the whole thing from the beginning has got us to this point. So that's why we're so thankful that it got started. And then the bottom one is the big one. All the activity that we've done, the cumulative savings, it's stated there at 49, but I recalculated today and it's already over 60.
Great.
So it's a significant number. And that continues every year because of the energy savings. But one thing I was thinking about today, when I first started this, I go, okay, this is going to be a lot of work. I'm not sure if it's going to pan out. But what I quickly realized beyond my initial thought, and my initial thought was, okay, we're going to do this, and maybe the one goal I had is I can get enough energy savings just keep pace with the increase in the bills. Everything inflates and it's a little higher every year, and I thought, well, with the energy savings we can find, maybe we can keep that at net zero and just never have an increase where we had to pay, but it turned out to be significantly more than that. So that's kind of the spiel. Any questions in particular?
And then thank you for that. Mm-hmm. As you were talking, I was thinking to myself about my own home and my own systems, and boy, I thought I was a genius servicing the 30-year-old Carrier air conditioner, and learned after I replaced it, I could have paid for it three or four times over if I just replaced it 10 years ago. In addition to electrical savings, systems replacement, are there other systems that We Energies will give us help on? And what I mean by that is alternative, roofing that helps defer sunlight away from the building, to help keep down those costs even further. I mean, you can go to any big city, Chicago, and if you're high enough, you can look down, and I don't know if this is cost effective or not, or what it takes to do this, but there's a lot of grass growing on top of buildings.
Yeah.
So are there anything along those lines?
Not with this program. That's kind of a direction that is a little bit radical for us. I know we had a former director out here before Ray that he was interested in doing that with the roof here. And, it's got to get support from the county executive to even think about it, because it's pretty costly. But as far as I know, no, there's nothing else.
Okay, thanks.
Creative thinking, though, right? I mean,
I know nothing about it other than I've never seen grass grow on top of a building. Yeah. Somebody's got to be.
Well, that's only going to get more and more every year. I had a discussion with Ray today about solar panels. So, that's all evolving, and eventually it will be here. So.
Now, Mike, you used to give us regular updates on the facilities, so I'm aware of what you've been doing. So, we've got a roughly cost savings of $60,000, but you've had to make some investments in that. Do you know what that ratio, what you've invested versus, because going from, you know, fluorescent LEDs is not a cost decrease, it is an energy consumption.
Right.
But there's, and that we would look at some of the returns on investment, right?
Right.
We're in the 3 to 5 year range,
yes,
roughly speaking.
That's
so the ones you were going after, there was many bigger ones, but they were substantial capital investments.
They were.
Can you maybe let everybody know, is there, okay, if we invest $100,000, you get 60 back, or we invest $500,000, you get 60 back?
Mm-hmm.
Because, right, the 60 is recurring.
Yep, it is.
I don't know if you had those numbers.
I don't have the total, but I can relay you some of the information. I'd highlighted one of our better projects, and it kind of comes down to payback in years. That's kind of been our gauge for what we do. And they kind of run the whole gamut, and there's different decisions. You don't just get the simple payback if it's low enough, do we do it or not do it, because of the maintenance component, first of all. For instance, the boiler at KCAP, it had gotten a crack in the heat exchanger, and it was 17 years old, and the life on it was 15. We had quotes to replace the one section of the heat exchanger for $10,000. And there was a possibility that when we got into it, they might see a second crack in another one, which would be another $10,000. So we looked at that and said, it just doesn't make sense to put it in there. What's the whole thing add up to? And it was, we based it on maintenance and life, not necessarily in energy. So they kind of all come together and add, to give you a sum. But the one I wanted to refer to, and it's the best one so far. The safety building, we had an upgrade to the ramp that goes into the basement for the squats. It has a heating system in the concrete, and it was heated by an electric boiler. There was nothing wrong with it, but when Jeff Mackey came through, he said, I'm not a big proponent of electrical heating because it's very efficient. Let's get this little electric boiler out of here and put in a gas boiler. And while we're in there, in this little closet where the boiler is and all these pipes are coming through, it's basically like your home system with a heated tile, same kind of thing, in concrete. We turned around and we looked up in the corner and there's this little Modine heater to heat the room. And it's not electric, it's not gas, it's connected to our boiler that does the whole building. And the pipes are right there with the hot water. And he said, why can't we just take the thing down and connect the hot water pipes to feed the pipes going to the ramp? And we did the calculations, we found out that we had the capacity with the boilers to do it, and it ended up being a 1.5 year payback for the project, which is, that's really good. But the project cost was just under $25,000 for all the work. Jeff calculated that we have energy savings every year of just under $12,000. So I mean, just with that alone, that's a 2 year payback. And then with the focus on energy plan, we got just under $6,000 incentives. So when you put those two together, you get that real quick payback. So that was a really good one. We enjoyed that. That's what we wish they all were like, but the reality is they're not. But a lot of them, especially the lighting ones, are 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, that's what I remember. And some of, for instance, your example, KCAP oil.
Yes.
Pay now, you can pay
just,
later. So you
just
want
a good
pay
business
now.
Decision.
And then, that one's going to be a little bit longer. The capital.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can go the right direction, can't I? Oh, you already did this one? Okay. Or you want to go back?
No, I guess there's two bullets there. I already talked about the top one. And then the second one is emerging efforts to build sustainable county facilities. And I guess while I'm talking, I might go right into that so I can finish. We have an existing recycling program in all the buildings, offices, cubicles. It basically takes aluminum, paper, tin cans, anything that's recyclable. And we have blue bins that the employees can throw in. So every office has a blue bin and a trash can. Every cubicle has the same thing. And then we have some communal ones by the copy machines and things like that. And part of the program that we have larger blue bins that are like the ones you get at home where they dump waste, big heavy rolling ones with the tops that flip open. We have those in certain areas. And the employees and in the cubicles and offices, when they want to empty the recycle bin, they take it and they dump it in that. And then our custodians manage the big bins. This actually started quite a few years ago, and it was back in the day when you couldn't really co-mingle anything. So really all we could do is put paper in there or cardboard. And that was kind of a problem for the employees. They had aluminum cans, they had tin cans and things, and you know, then they wanted receptacles for all those, and then it kind of got to be a little bit too much. We couldn't have six cans someplace, and we just didn't do it. We just collected paper. Then co-mingles came out, and now you can throw everything in. And what happened from that point to this point is some buildings jumped on the bandwagon, and they did everything, and some refused to do it. DA's office, they wouldn't do it. They didn't want to empty those cans themselves, so they said, forget it, we're not doing it. And then we had some buildings where individuals refused to do it, they just weren't going to do it. So there wasn't a lot we could do. We didn't have good support back then from the county executive.